With a lesson from the Gospel of Luke. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to Jesus, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, 'Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" This is the word of the Lord. Five verses. It's a brief lesson. Five verses. The first three brimming with condemnation, and the last two aching with regret, yet holding out promise. Five verses that show a man on a mission, and he will not be deterred. Jesus has spent lots of time on the road. Luke recounts the story of his journey throughout his writing. A journey of a man who becomes wildly popular as he walks among the towns and villages, healing, teaching, and mentoring his disciples. Nothing could deter him from his daily ministry. No day off at the beach for him. He had so much to do, so many people to reach, and only a little time. He had an assignment from God, as well as a timetable, and he was determined to stay the course to Jerusalem. But some of the Pharisees wanted to warn Jesus away from the historic center of Jewish power, a city rich with a history of kings and priests, a city full of contrasts that would play out in the days to come. There is controversy about the motive of the Pharisees. Some theologians see the religious rulers as anxious to send Jesus away, for he has become too popular and made them look about as boring as manna. They didn't give a hoot about the coming kingdom at all. It was all about themselves and their status in the community. But others cite the fact that there are many common beliefs about which the Pharisees agreed with Jesus and could be genuinely concerned about his fate. They knew that Herod of Antipas, the local tetrarch of Galilee, and son of the vicious ruler Herod the Great, was similarly evil. He had already had John the Baptist beheaded. It was not a stretch to imagine that Herod would see Jesus as competition for his position of power and want him killed as well. But Jesus will have none of it. In what we can imagine as indignation and anger, Jesus warns, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow, and on the third day I finish my work. Jesus didn't need their warning. He knew the roadmap of his life, and he knew what was to come. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. His plan was to be obedient to God, even unto death. He knew that his journey, his mission, would bring him straight into Jerusalem and into the destiny long prescribed by God. It was almost like he had tunnel vision. He didn't care what the Pharisees wanted or what Herod wanted. They could just take a hike. In spite of the agony to come, being obedient to God was the ultimate goal, and he would not fail. But Jesus did care that Jerusalem had historically made poor choices, a pattern that continued to the present time. With regret, he laments over Jerusalem. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. In an image that plays off his derogatory name for Herod, a sly, dangerous fox, Jesus has us imagine him as a hen extending her protective wing over vulnerable baby chicks. The whole point of Jesus' ministry was to forgive the sins of the people and offer them redemption through faith alone. Through crucifixion and resurrection, Jesus would bring life everlasting in the kingdom of God into reality. It turned out to be a hard sell to those who only cared about their present stature or were easily distracted by other rulers and ideologies. It's disheartening to realize that Jesus, on the verge of accomplishing his Father's will, spends time lamenting rather than resting in the possibility of bringing all people into his saving grace. The anger that he feels for the lack of his acceptance transforms into a compassion for a people created and loved by God, a people who will someday come to proclaim the Lord's saving grace, giving acclaim as they cry out, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. There are so many qualities about the Lord revealed in this brief passage, points that we can and should embrace on our own journey to the kingdom. One of those points about Jesus is his faithful obedience to God. We would do well to hone our focus in on God and not be distracted by people and mindsets trying to garner our complete attention and loyalty. Being obedient does take commitment, but offers rewards that should give us promise and inner peace every day. Can we claim obedience to God as a priority? Another point is the compassion that Jesus exhibits for humankind, even when the people's infidelity was revealed. That compassion manifests itself in the eternal promise of forgiveness, the ability to atone for our transgressions against the Lord. Can we show compassion even to those who have wronged us? The fact that Jesus aches to provide a safe haven in the very place where prophets are threatened shows his remarkable ability to let peace triumph over discord. His love for people mattered more than their past actions. The ability to display mercy is a good model for us in today's fractured social and political environment, where people are often anxious to hold on to grudges and reluctant to consider other viewpoints. Can we truly offer the gift of mercy to those with whom we disagree? Jesus had a safe place, and that was with God. We have a safe place, and that is with Jesus. In response, can we model obedience, compassion, and mercy? Can we be a safe place for others seeking an abiding relationship with the Lord? Can we be the people who come in the name of the Lord this Lent and forever? With God's grace, let it be so. Let us pray. We give thanks for the blessing of your most holy word. Bring us back to that place where our journey began, when we said that we would follow the way that you first trod. Lead us to the cross and meet us there. Amen.